What is sin? Unpacking the complex concept. Few words in the human lexicon carry as much weight, controversy, and complexity as sin. It is a term that has shaped laws, inspired art, fueled guilt, and offered a path to redemption for millennia. Yet its meaning is far from monolithic. To understand sin is to embark on a journey through theology, philosophy, and the deepest questions of human nature. Beyond simple wrongdoing, a theological foundation, at its core, sin is more than just a mistake or a social faux pas. In its primary religious context, particularly within Abrahamic faiths like Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, sin is understood as an act of estrangement. It is a willful transgression against divine law, a rupture in the relationship between humanity and God. The Christian narrative often begins with the concept of original sin, a state of fallen humanity inherited from Adam and Eve's disobedience in the Garden of Eden. This isn't about bearing guilt for a specific act, but about being born into a world where the propensity to choose self over God is inherent. From this perspective, sin is a universal human condition, not just a catalog of bad deeds. This condition manifests in specific actions. Traditions often categorize these actions to understand their gravity. Mortal sin, in Catholic doctrine, a grave act that severs one's relationship with God. It requires three conditions. It must be a serious matter, committed with full knowledge and with deliberate consent. Venial sin, a lesser transgression that wounds but does not destroy one's relationship with God. The seven deadly sins, an ancient classification of vices that are considered the root of other immoralities: pride, greed, wrath, envy, lust, gluttony, and sloth. In Judaism, the concept is often framed through the language of ket, which literally means missing the mark, like an archer missing the bullseye. This implies a focus on error and the opportunity for correction through repentance, teshuva, and atonement. Islam emphasizes sin as disobedience to the clear commands of Allah, as outlined in the Quran and Sunnah, but also highlights His boundless mercy for those who sincerely repent. A secular interpretation: sin as human harm. For the non-religious, the concept of sin can be translated into a secular framework. Without a divine lawgiver, sin becomes a violation of a fundamental ethical code. It is an action that causes harm to others, to oneself, or to the community. The seven deadly sins provide a useful blueprint for this translation. Pride becomes destructive arrogance and narcissism. Greed fuels exploitation and vast economic inequality. Wrath manifests as unchecked rage and violence. Envy poisons relationships and drives malicious behavior. Lust can lead to objectification and violation of consent. Gluttony represents overconsumption and a lack of self-control, often with wider environmental impacts. Sloth is not mere laziness, but the failure to use one's talents and contribute to the world. In this view, sin is any behavior that fractures human flourishing and undermines our collective well-being. The consequence is not divine judgment, but social discord, internal emptiness, and the tangible damage caused by our actions. The modern dilemma: is sin still a relevant concept? In an increasingly secular world, the word sin can feel archaic, laden with what some perceive as unnecessary guilt and shame from religious institutions. Critics argue that moral frameworks can exist perfectly well based on empathy, reason, and human rights, without the need for theological baggage. Yet the concept persists because it addresses a profound human experience. The sense of moral failure. We all, at some point, feel we have missed the mark. We recognize a gap between who we are and who we aspire to be. We feel the weight of having caused harm we cannot undo. This is where the most crucial counterpart to sin enters the picture: redemption. The path of redemption, from guilt to grace. A concept of sin without redemption is merely a prison of guilt. The power of the paradigm lies in its built-in path forward. Across faiths and philosophies, this path shares common steps: acknowledgement, admitting the wrongdoing, first to oneself, repentance, feeling genuine remorse and a turning away from the harmful behavior, restitution, where possible, making amends for the harm caused, atonement, forgiveness, seeking forgiveness from those wronged, from the community, from God, or from oneself. This process transforms the destructive energy of sin into a catalyst for growth. It allows individuals to confront their flaws, learn from them, and reintegrate into their community with wisdom and humility. The final verdict, sin, whether viewed through a theological or secular lens, remains a powerful tool for understanding the human predicament. It names our capacity for selfishness, cruelty, and error. It acknowledges that our actions have weight and consequences. Ultimately, the value of the concept may not be in the condemnation it implies, but in the transformation it promises. It is a stark reminder of our imperfection, but also a map pointing toward the possibility of forgiveness, repair, and a better way to live. The true weight of the word sin is not the burden of guilt it places upon us, but the gravity of the choice it presents, to break or to heal.